You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve conversations, and we get to head to Oklahoma for today's conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Pastor Paul Hemenway from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. Pastor Hemenway, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you currently serve Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but you haven't always been there. So share with us the story that leads up to this. When did you become, or when did you consider becoming a pastor?
When did God consider me becoming a pastor? When did I? Because they're two different stories.
All right, well, let's match up the timelines.
Okay. So I can tell you exactly when it was, the summer of 1996, and it was one of those times where you had that really, really clear understanding of the will of God. And it was, I knew I was in Portland, Oregon, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the middle of the day, and it was almost like that, you know, audible calling. It was that strong. I want you to go into the ministry. And it was that strong of a, you know, call that I verbally shouted out, no. And I was out in public. So that's when the Spirit started working on me to enter the ministry. Now, I'm not always the brightest guy when it comes to interacting with the God of all things. So I, for 6 years, said, no, we're not going to do this. Or maybe it was 5 years actually. And just said, nah, you got the wrong guy, and I got other plans. So let's do a little bit of bargaining, and we'll figure this out together, so I don't have to go into the ministry. And that was the most miserable 5 years of my life. So that was the calling. Now the 5 years of running from God, Jonah's got nothing on me. I could teach him a thing or two about running from the call. So, which I can laugh about now, but at the time it was no laughing matter. When I say miserable, it was miserable. And that's why I encourage anybody who is feeling that inner call to seek that out and see what God's really doing, so that you don't have to go through what I went through and all that, you know, night of the dark soul type of stuff. It was years of the dark, you know, the soul. So anyway, so I entered the seminary in 2002 was when I finally stopped running and just said, I can't fight with you anymore. And that's when I started the path to becoming a pastor.
What were you doing at the time when the wrestling was happening? What was your situation at that point?
So I am a second career pastor. I used to be a secular major label recording artist. That's what I did in the 90s. So when I was in Portland, I had just gotten done with a sound check for the concert we were playing that night. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to do, was make records and tour. And that's what I got to do for the 90s, or most of the 90s and whatnot. So that's what I was doing before all this happened. So, and it was interesting because it was a way of serving God and his people in that capacity, in a place that didn't have a whole lot of Christian influence in it. So it was a great experience, but God graciously pulled me out of that experience too. As good as it was, and as nice as it was to be creative, it was also, he saved me by pulling me out of it.
What are some of the skills that you had to have to be in that industry? I mean, what instruments do you play, or all vocals? Tell us a little bit about what you had to be in that industry.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not what you call a classically trained musician. If anybody's familiar with music, the stuff that came out of the Northwest, which is where I'm from, in the early 90s, like the grunge rock stuff and whatnot, that, so it's not, you know, like classical music or anything like that. It's rock and roll, and it's harder edged rock and roll. And we were an 8-piece band. We had horns in what we did, but we weren't ska. We loved James Brown and Black Sabbath and thought you should be able to do all of it together. And so that's what we did. And so you have to know how to get along with people. You have to know how to you know, work together with people and not tear each other's throats out every day. And I was the singer, lead singer, and one of the guitarists and the main songwriter. So I had to, you know, try and convey my vision of this music to these guys that we were working together with. Qualities that I found very helpful in being in the parish. So a lot of things that I learned from my past translated very well into what I do now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Were there people at that point in your life who were encouraging you to attend seminary or helping you make this or go further on this journey to eventually becoming a seminary student?
You know, not at the time. I am a pastor's kid, so I grew up watching things happen in the church, and I've always loved the church. I think it's such a wonderful gift from God. You know, the bride of Christ is this amazing gift to us, and we are the bride, you know, and yet it's a gift that God miraculously gives to each other. And so I also got to see a lot of, you know, the imperfections of the bride of Christ. And I just thought, there is no way that I am equipped to do what I've been watching my father do. And mm-hmm. So that was a big reason why I was so adamant against it. So my dad, you know, and I understand the wisdom of this now, he never wanted to push me into the ministry because he always was of the mindset like, hey, this is between the Spirit and you. And if the Spirit wants you to do this, he will find you and he will, you know, make himself known. Now, when it came time to start considering this, that's where he jumped into action, he and others. So they weren't pushing it on me, but once they, you know, heard me talking about it, they were right there to help offer any advice and counsel that they thought I would need. Now, there were times where he would offhandedly say, You ever thought about it again, you know, or anything like that. So he would throw that in about once a year or something like that during this time, but it was never the hard sell or anything like that. Once I started actually considering it, that's where a group of people, you know, kind of came in as a support system, and they were incredibly helpful and just awesome to spitball with and run stuff by.
Tell us more about that support system that helped you with that process of contemplating seminary and then even making that transition to seminary.
Yeah, sure. So there was, you know, it was my mom and dad, who my mom taught in Lutheran schools for a number of years and was a Lutheran system girl from New York City. And she was very, very helpful in all of this, as well as my dad, to run stuff by. I have a brother who is a couple years younger than me, and he was always a great sounding board to run things by. I had some friends who, one of whom went through the Master of Divinity program up at Trinity in Chicago, so to become a Presbyterian minister, and he was a great help to me. We were, you know, right around the same time I'm getting the call, you know, he's getting an inner call as well to go serve God. And so he went to go work on his studies. So I had this nice group of family and friends. I know I'm leaving some people out, not intentionally, but that were very helpful, that I could just be open and honest with and not have to worry about anything, but just being honest about all my fears and concerns. And they were honest enough with me to help me with some good advice. And the thing that all of them had in common was, that was so helpful, I thought, was that they all emphasized what I don't know if it's a, you know, kind of an apocryphal story or whatnot, but it kind of gets credited sometimes to C.F.W. Walther that, you know, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call, you know, the people he calls, right? So, I just butchered that, forgive me, but you get the idea. God's in the business of empowering the people that he wants to do his work. We don't have to get to a certain level and then all of a sudden we're worthy of doing this. You know, we're not worthy of doing this, but he's bigger than that. So all of them were really good about cutting my arguments out at the knees. of, I'm not equipped to do this. And they're like, yeah, you're not. That's okay. God is. And he'll sort that out. So that was very freeing.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with the Reverend Paul Hemenway, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, for our Set Apart to Serve series. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gulseth.
I'm Andy Bate.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gulseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Paul Hemenway, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, for our Set Apart to Serve series. And let's talk about the journey to seminary, that transition from being a recording artist to a seminary student. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was awesome, because once I stopped arguing with God and actually got there, and let me back this up there, because there's something I need to share in light of what we're doing here in this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm wrestling with God and as I'm right on the brink of saying yes, we have a family vacation back to where in the Northwest, we'd all gone our different ways in life, but we would come back together for vacations in the summer. So we're all together. It's a huge family get together, and we're all sitting in this one pew that holds about, 35, 40 people. It's just, I'm at one end, my dad is at the other, who we've been really talking about going to the sem. And we're there at this church where I was confirmed and where I, spent, 22 years of worship at what I really kind of consider my home church. And they, the week before, had installed their new associate pastor right out of the sem. And he's preaching his first sermon at his new congregation. And the sermon that he preached was, how does God work to call his people into church work? And he makes this great point. God does not rip the heavens open and write with his finger, you go here and you do this and you do that. He works through means and he works through people. And so he said, has anybody in your life ever said, have you ever considered being a pastor or a teacher or a DCE? Now, I tuned out at teacher and DCE, because that's when, my recall went into effect. And I remember probably everybody throughout my life who had told me, you ought to be a pastor. And it was just right there. And at the end of that sermon, I knew I was going to the seminary. And so did my father at the end of the, and we both just leaned down and looked at each other and like, yep, this is happening. And it was the first sense of peace that I had had in those 5 years that he's got this, he's got me, he's going to figure this out and he'll guide me through it. So to go to then a year later to go to SEM at St. Louis, and it's, this is a year after 9/11. And so if you remember anything, those were some big classes at that time, and to get to meet guys from all over the country and to be, brought together for this common purpose was just amazing. It was so exciting and it was so cool. Now, I also think that my experience, because I was not married at the time and I was living in the dorms with a bunch of, kids right out of one of the Concordia schools. So we got, I made some very close friends there that are, I just love to this day, but I was the old guy. Okay. I was the guy that they made fun of for being super old and all this stuff. And it was really fun. It was a great time. But I think my life experience also allowed me to study differently at the SEM than they did. And that's not to say that God wasn't using them at that time or that they weren't in the right place. They were. But I also could ask different questions because of life experiences. And hey, how does this, you know, how does this crux theologorum stuff and the theology of the cross work with me, you know, talking to one of the guys who in another band who's got a heroin addiction? Well, I could ask those questions because I, you know, I had a little bit of experience in life under my belt. So that was, I was very thankful for that, that I got to go through seminary the way that I did, you know, even though they were making fun of me the whole time, it was still great.
So you packed up, moved to seminary, spent what, 4 years as a seminary student, as a seminarian? Five.
Oh. Yeah. So I moved there. And a year, the fall of my second year at the seminary, I meet the woman who will, you know, who is my wife. So she grew up Roman Catholic. She had no concept of a pastor's wife, let alone what a pastor's wife, you know, does or anything of that nature. So the powers that be at the SEM thought it would be a good idea if I put an extra year on to learning up front, then got married and went to vicarage so she could start getting a taste of it then. So I actually spent 5 years there. And what, again, what that allowed me to do, the rest of these guys were just, you know, running like in sixth gear the whole time. And it allowed me to slow down. I had to slow down my schedule, and I got to actually read the readings that were assigned to us. And I actually got to, you know, spend time on things that we were really digging into at the seminary, which is where I love systematic theology. That's my weapon of choice. So I really got to spend a lot of time with the systematicians there. And it was awesome. Just so awesome to be in that setting and learning like that.
Tell us about vicarage and the learning experience formation that happens in vicarage.
Oh yeah. Well, I think all vicarage experiences can teach you. All right. They can teach you very, very important things. And a lot of vicarage experiences will teach you good things. Okay. Unfortunately, some of them teach you some mistakes to avoid in the future. That's just the reality of a broken world. I was blessed to have this phenomenal vicarage experience at Good Shepherd Lutheran in Collinsville, Illinois. And I got to enjoy this incredible, you know, time of mentoring from two great pastors and some really skilled lay leaders there, that it was just such a great experience for me. And it was really cool to, I love our program that we do that kind of thing. You know, we set aside some time for us to go into a congregation and learn how to do this, you know, in the trenches. I think it's a great, great system. So I got to teach, I got to preach, I got to, you know, help with funerals. I got to help with, which I had one today. That's why I'm wearing the collar here I think it's about 80 degrees today, by the way, in Oklahoma, which is awesome. So yeah, I got to do all these incredible things, do chapels at the Metro East Lutheran High School. And I just got to learn so much. So again, by the time I go back for my final year, I'm completely annoying to all the, you know, SEM professors, because I'm asked, okay, about this, how do I, you know, what do I deal with, you know, here and whatnot. So it was the vicarage idea and the program, I think, is really, really cool and helpful for us and our development, you know.
What do you love about being a Lutheran pastor? Obviously, this is something you enjoy. I can see the joy on your face. What do you love about it?
Okay. I don't want to sound like a homer, you know, or anything like that. And I don't get up in the morning to ever criticize another denomination or criticize anybody for that matter. But I will always tell you what I'm for. And I love our theology. The idea that I get to, you know, say to other people what was said to me when I was wrestling with this wrong idea of trying to be good enough to get to God. And I get to just share with them the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, the assurance of God through Jesus Christ, and to show them in Holy Scripture, you know, what God says to them. Man, that's as good as it gets. That is such a cool thing to do. And I love to be able to do it within our understanding of the Christian faith. It's, I, I really believe it is so freeing and so beneficial to just getting at the core things and the main things of the Christian faith. So I love to be able to do that. And I've been blessed to be in three congregations where I've been able to preach and teach the Word of God. And a lot of LCMS congregations are like that, where you can preach and teach the Word of God, and you're not going to get completely challenged at every point or split the church up if you do that. And that's a blessing in and of itself that I don't think we always understand that is a strength of ours as the LCMS. So I really, not that you don't get challenged. You always, there's always somebody who wants to do something, but for the most part, I've always had the support of my elders and my board of directors and the vast majority of the congregation. And they expect me to preach and teach the Word of God. And that is awesome. The very thing I want to do as a Lutheran pastor, I get to do and am enabled to do by these people that I serve. It's pretty exciting. So I love the way that I can communicate the grace and the solidity of what we have as Christians. But I also really appreciate that I can continually point to baptism, and I can continually serve the sacrament of the altar to people for the forgiveness of sins. That's just awesome. And I love the fact that in our Lutheran tradition that we are so emphatic about the core beliefs of what we do and what gives us a Lutheran identity, that we have a lot of flexibility and freedom. Because all three congregations that I've served, I can't do a one size fits all approach to ministry. They're all different. They're all unique, and they all have different cares and concerns. And being a Lutheran, I have that flexibility, which is a gift.
Tell us about what Trinity Edmond is doing to, or hopes to do in the future, to encourage and recruit church workers for the future, whether it's youth or second career.
Yeah, we actually have two. Now, this is before my time. I've only been here for 5 months, so I'm learning the whole system here myself. But we have a couple of young women who are in the system program to they're working on becoming DCEs. So that's really cool. And I wish I could say that, yeah, you know what, we always do X, Y, and Z. But we just, it's not that we do something necessarily that's huge and grand all the time. But I do know we are continually doing things like, we fundraise for church workers on a regular basis. So we give money and scholarships to people who from our congregation go to enter into church work. We do continually talk to our young men and women about various things in church work. Hey, you've shown some real acumen here. Have you ever thought about that kind of thing? And then we really do broaden it out to the bigger congregation as well. So it's rather than some kind of huge overture, it's really just a continually just kind of part of what we do here, in conversation.
What's your words of advice or wisdom to men who are thinking of becoming pastors, men and women who are thinking of a variety of different church work vocations? What's your wisdom for them?
Well, first, I would encourage them to understand that they can serve God in great capacities outside of church work, okay? Outside of formalized church work. Being part of the laity and the priesthood of all believers, that's an amazing calling in and of itself. However, if there is something that the Spirit is putting in the scheme of things to that you're considering doing this, I would highly encourage them to explore that, because so often what we think church work is not the full picture. And what God does in church work and some of the things that I've gotten to experience, I never could have written that up. It's just so amazing and so awesome to witness and to be a part of. And if you like Jesus, it's a really cool way to be connected to him and to connect others to him. And there, I, it's such a loaded question, and there isn't enough time for me to answer that question properly, you know, in my mind, because, you know, what would you encourage? What's so cool about it? It's too many things to mention. The depth of getting to study God's word and the honor of that, and then to try and communicate that to his people and get to see him working in the lives of people and get to, like, again, I just said, you know, a couple hours ago, we were doing a funeral. Death is not super fun, but in the midst of these people suffering this huge loss in their life, you know, I get to bring them the comfort of the assurance of the God of everything that this is not the end of the story. I mean, that is awesome. And what a blessing that is. And so there, I never would have anticipated that when I was even at the seminary, just how powerful that could be. So there's so many things that God has in store for anybody who's in this kind of work that you can't even anticipate. I can't even advertise, really. It's just, so deep and so cool and so powerful. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm taking up too much time being excited. So.
Our guest today, the Reverend Paul Hemenway, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. Pastor Hemenway, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Yeah, God bless you and what you're doing.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.